Hey everyone, welcome to the podcast, Bone Bootcamp with Sarah Purcell. I'm your host, Sarah. This podcast, my newsletter, and all of my programs are designed to help women approach aging with confidence and courage. I'm specifically focused on bone growth promotion and skeleton safe movements in Bone Bootcamp, the course, and Short and Sweet with Sarah, the membership. In this podcast, I strive to bring you all the most current information on living your best life as you age. Let's get on with today's episode. Hi, and welcome to Bone Bootcamp, the podcast. I am so lucky to have Lisa Feiner here with me today. She is a co-founder of Sharp Again, a not-for-profit. She helps individuals deal with cognitive decline, and I believe she also works with medical professionals. So I'm going to hand it over to Lisa to tell us a little bit about her work, what she does, and how she got into it.
Thanks so much, Lisa. Sarah, for having me on today.
Oh my gosh, thank you.
So Sharp Again Naturally is a nonprofit that was founded about 8 years ago. And I was one of four people. I'm a holistic practitioner. I'm a holistic certified health coach. And really got my start in business many, many years ago. So I have an MBA and have done
like me.
lots of nonprofit work, leading a nonprofit board, which was very helpful when it came time to starting Sharp Again Naturally. And we're an organization that is dedicated to informing people about the causes of memory loss and dementia and how those can be addressed. Each of us has the ability really to keep our mind sharp throughout our entire lives, even into old age. And I think today, people associate dementia or memory loss with aging, but it doesn't have to be that way. And we are here as an organization, not only to educate all of us, you know, individuals, but also medical practitioners about what these causes are and how they can be treated. We also offer programs to help individuals who think they either might be slipping a little bit or they're worried about their cognition because perhaps they have dementia in their families. We have programs to help them as well.
Which is wonderful. So, so wonderful. And how did you find yourself going from an MBA to this work with helping individuals with their brains?
So there was a stop there in the middle where I got a counseling degree, thinking I might go into psychology, but then with my husband and our children, we moved to London for a few years, and I had been getting allergy shots between April and October every week. And when I got there, they said, "We really want to send you to a homeopathic doctor." And she literally eradicated my allergies. I mean, today, if there's a really bad allergy season, maybe I'll have some, you know, some small symptoms, some weak symptoms, but certainly nothing like I was experiencing. I could barely function. I was so exhausted from my allergies. So it was in London that I was exposed to other alternative therapies. And when I came back to the States, I wanted to get involved with some sort of integrative or holistic practice. I had thought about becoming a naturopath. My children were very small. We only had one program here in the Northeast. So I eventually decided to become a health coach. And it was a great decision for so many reasons. Very versatile. I learned a lot about health and what true healing is versus treating symptoms. And all the components of health as well. You know, it's not just our nutrition or our exercise or, you know, the things that seem to be very obvious, but it's all right. Those other things in life that nourish us that we focus on.
So our sleep.
Like our sleep, very, very critical. So I've also been on the board of a nursing and rehabilitation facility in Westchester, New York, for about 20 years. And I volunteer, I love elders, I volunteer regularly with them, but was seeing so much Alzheimer's and dementia. And sort of the combination of the two, knowing that there are real underlying causes for disease and seeing such a rise in these cases, when we first heard that there were reasons and causes for memory loss, it made absolute sense. I mean, why not, right? It, like so many other diseases. So that was the trigger, right? That's what got us really excited to get involved. And we just decided we had to get this information out to everyone.
And is that when Sharp Again was born?
That is when Sharp Again was born.
Yeah. Well, I'm so glad it was. For me, it was reading Dale Bredesen's book that was this aha moment. And you may have read research prior to the publishing of his book. You probably read his original research. Yeah.
Yes, I did.
But it's amazing. And at the time, I thought, I don't even have Alzheimer's in my family. And I thought, I need to find a practitioner who does this because I want to know more. And that wasn't so easy. I'm so glad that I'm hearing more and more, that there are health coaches and nutritionists and doctors who are practicing
brain health. It's really the integrative and functional medicine doctors,
yes,
and the naturopaths who have been trained.
And that's what I mean.
Yeah, but it's a wonderful thing. You know, ironically, when we first started this work, we have a naturopath on our board, and he was training his own colleagues to know that they could treat the brain.
Right.
Because even though they've been educated around it, the idea that you could treat dementia was a relatively new idea. But it's sort of,
right,
you know, it's how neuroplasticity has come into being, and the idea that,
right,
the brain really can shrink and re-enlarge, and, you know, these neurons can be regenerated. This is relatively new in the literature.
Right. And so there is some, what we have called to date, normal cognitive decline. But essentially, I sense that you're saying, what is normal? You're kind of
right,
helping us see that.
So interestingly, our brains, in terms of processing speed, start to decline even in our late 30s and our 40s.
Worse.
You know, so this happens. There are a number of things that are going on, right? So as you age, you know, you have, if you look at the 10 causes, you could be going through, let's say, menopause, for instance, where your hormones are fluctuating, and that could have an impact on your brain. But typically, women bounce back after a period of time. So we all go through different things in our lives that might impact our brains. But if we've been relatively safe and healthy, you know, you will see the difference in the processing speed. But you're also acquiring so much new information that also, as you get older, can help to delay your recovery. You know, being able to remember words or people's names or things like that. But it should not be debilitating in any way. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, how do I know what's age-related and when I really have a problem? And it's typically when you've been very good at something, like numbers, and you start having problems balancing your checkbook, or you've always been great with names and you're very social and suddenly you cannot remember people's names, and so it's a change in something that was normal for you. And I think that's really the key. You know, that's what people should keep in mind. I mean, we all have memory lapses. There are days that we're under more stress or we haven't slept well. We have to understand what is kind of a routine, everyday issue, and then what is something that really has, that's more consequential, I would say.
I get it.
And a lot of times we'll notice it ourselves. You know, we call that subjective cognitive impairment. And a lot of times our friends will say, oh, you're fine. Everyone has that. But if this persists and it's something that you really feel is a problem for you, chances are you should have it checked out.
Right. And essentially what I hear you telling us is that we do have some control over these factors. And so checking it out is much better than not, because it doesn't mean you're going on medicine. It means you're going to focus on things you have control over. Am I right?
Absolutely. You know, it used to be that there was nothing that doctors could tell you to do. People hid it for a long time, and their spouses or their partners or their friends or their kids would cover for them. And you try to keep it a secret for as long as possible. And that no longer really serves us. So the sooner we get help, the higher the likelihood that we can take care of whatever issues there are, and we can return to full cognition.
And that is just so amazing. The first time I read that people have reversed cognitive decline. And I think one of the things I loved was the story you told about I think he was a biochemist. His mother had a stroke and was in bed.
Yeah, so Rick, he's a nutritional microbiologist, and his mother had a series of strokes and was sent home from the hospital on hospice. They set up a hospital bed in their living room, and he said, I have nothing to lose. I'm going to create some really healthy smoothies for her. And she could sip through a straw, which is about all she could do. And he made her these really nutritional smoothies with things like, omega-3s and some ground up nuts, no dairy, no gluten, no sugar, but like fruits and vegetables, really good nutrition for the brain. And on that kind of a diet, she started perking up and she lost some weight and eventually got up and was mobile. And eventually, she lived 4 more years. She cooked. Her cognition returned. It was interesting.
Stunning.
When she died, she didn't die of memory loss or dementia. She just, she had other complications, but she was in, they did a follow-up interview with her. And while you could tell from the stroke, she had a little bit of speech, issue. She was fully cognitively lucid. And that was an
engaged,
amazing story. And Rick was involved with Sharp again early on. And so we just felt we had all of this great information and things that people wouldn't believe necessarily. Like, it seems a little hard to believe that our food or our exercise or our sleep or some of these, things could be so impactful on the brain.
Right.
But there's been a ton of research pretty much on every aspect of what we talk about in the last 10 years. And it just complements, what we've been saying. But it took a while for this to come out and for kind of the rest of the world to start believing it.
Right. And I sense that the message is not really out there into the mass population, that people don't realize that lifestyle choices, that we have choices. We can make choices that can help us prevent cognitive decline.
That's right. I think there's a lot that goes into that denial, if you will, at times, or disbelief, and I really understand it as a health coach. It can be hard to change our habits and our lifestyle. And even if we want to, if there's any cognitive decline, you need help. You need either a spouse or a partner or an adult child who lives nearby or a caregiver. Somebody who can help you kind of stay the course and do whatever's being recommended for you personally. Mm-hmm. And so it can be challenging at times. And at a certain age, and this is not a blanket statement, but a lot of times as people age, the desire and the ability to make these changes, it's just much harder.
I see. Okay. So do you find it's easier to work with people who want to prevent cognitive impairment?
We're all better off preventing, because if you can prevent, then you do not have to worry about reversing. And depending upon what the cause is, and how long you've been experiencing problems, or let's say exposure to toxins, or whatever the cause might be, for different people, also different genetics, for different people, it can be harder than for others to regain their cognition, full cognition.
Yes.
So prevention is always ideal.
Right. And the fact that I experienced, and many of the ladies listening to this podcast experienced, postmenopausal fog, it does start to settle. But I do recognize that retrieval of dates and times, which has never been my strong point, but I think it's a little bit sketchier now. And when I read that book, I thought, I think I eat well, but when I read everything about whether it's my bones, my heart, or my brain, I could do better. And I just had to admit to myself that I didn't eat enough greens. That would be my big one.
And you know, that is something that's not that hard to correct, really, if you really care about it and you work at it. And sometimes it's helpful to get some help with it, you know, a health coach or somebody, a friend, a buddy, you know, who you can each cook in your own kitchens, but you can be cooking together over a phone call or Zoom. Or, I mean, there are ways, you know, even with our exercise. I mean, you exercise, you know, you're a, you know, exercise guru, but for me, you know, I love certain things, but aerobic exercise is not my strength. So I really have to work at that. But during COVID, I've been walking with my daughter on the phone.
That's so nice.
And we talk. And for that 45 minutes or an hour, we're both out there getting exercise.
I do that with my sister.
Yeah, it's great. If you have a friend or a
somebody.
You know, somebody. Yeah. So, you know, there are ways, really to address almost each one of these things that we know are problematic for the brain.
And I know you mentioned 10 things, which I believe you have on your website. Don't you have a list of the 10 things?
Yeah, they're really 12. I mean, they're 12 sort of embedded in the 10. And, you know, there are other things that we are watching that we know potentially could be added to the list. But you want me to quickly go through them?
So I would love
know
it.
What
yes.
it is? Okay.
Yes.
So we have nutritional imbalances and deficiencies, and that includes not only food, but supplementation as well. And obviously working with an integrative or functional medicine doctor, these are some of the things that they look at. Toxins in our food, water, air, home and work environments. So just to be aware of what we might be exposed to. Effects of prescription medications, that could be anything from the side effects to the interactions to I've heard so many stories about people whose parents have been in the hospital and the doctors there have put them on certain medications that made them, I won't say delirious, but not sharp, not functioning well.
And
when they've asked that their loved one be taken off the medication or that it be, you know, titrated down, they've seen their parent come back and they've gotten them back. But if you need to be an advocate for your own health, this is such a great example of that. So we know as people get older, and in this category as well, anesthesia, general anesthesia, is problematic for the older brain. So unfortunately, some people have to have operations close together. And if you have elective ability to say, I want to wait a little bit longer, it's better so that you're not being put under anesthesia twice too close in succession.
I see.
So then we have mercury and other heavy metals. Some of those are toxic for us, and they're neurotoxic, so they're very toxic for the brain. They cross the blood-brain barrier. Hormonal imbalances, which you alluded to after menopause, but even things like thyroid or cortisol levels can impact the brain and cause inflammation. Cortisol, especially if you've got too much stress and it's too high. Inflammation in general is a problem for the brain. It's a problem for the body.
For the gut?
For the gut, for everything.
Yeah, for the body. Right? I know, for the bones.
Right.
It's not good.
So we want to keep our inflammation levels down. And, you know, we're looking at things like Lyme disease or oral infections, which we may or may not feel. Food sensitivities, which we may or may not feel or want to admit to. We kind of like our food habits and our favorite foods, and I get that.
Yes.
But if they're causing undue inflammation in our gut, it's not going to be great for our brain. And things like mold. So anything or any pain, we tend to ignore, human beings are very good at ignoring things or saying, I'll wait and see if it'll, but if you've waited and it still persists, you need to get things checked out. And I know during COVID, it's definitely something that we don't want to do going into doctor's offices, but we all have to make those decisions about really what we can live with and what we should be, attending to.
That makes sense.
And then I call these the lifestyle causes. So not enough exercise, not enough mental stimulation, and not enough social interaction. All three of these things during COVID have been really problematic for people. And we all have to work at them. Prolonged stress. And I would say, so stress and anxiety, those cortisol levels can impact our sleep. Impact our inflammation, and then sleep and breathing problems. So we think that we don't need as much sleep as we get older, and the fact is we do. It may not be exactly the same type of sleep, but we all need deep sleep, and we all need REM sleep, REM sleep. So different things happen at different phases during the night, which impact our brain. So in deep sleep, our brains get cleared out of plaques, and I think of it like the muck. It gets carried away in the cerebral spinal fluid. And so that only happens during deep sleep. And then the consolidation of memory also happens during sleep. So we really need to get adequate sleep. And then finally, number 10 is physical and emotional trauma that can really happen at any age. And it's really all types of trauma, emotional and physical. So it could be a blow to the head, or you fall, you have a skiing accident, or a car accident. But it also could be emotional abuse, or, PTSD, or early childhood trauma that needs to be addressed. All of these things can impact your brain.
The last one I did not know about.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
It's I think it's because Dr. Bredesen doesn't really write about it yet.
Right.
Or I think he's just starting potentially to take a look at that. But it definitely, the research is there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Believe you.
And everything we do at Sharpegan Naturally is really based on the scientific literature,
right? Which is why I love what your organization provides, because it really is science based.
Right.
You have evidence to support what you're suggesting we do.
And, you know, one of the goals initially was to bring all this information into one place, one repository,
right.
Because there was a study here and, and something published,
right.
You know, years ago there, and
right.
There were books that were written, but there was nothing that brought it together that said, there's a pattern here, there's a way to address this.
Right. And when I do think about it, I loved Matthew Walker's book on sleep. I loved Dr. Bredesen's book, which has a lot to do with diet and supplementation. You were the first place that I encountered where you put exercise, sleep, nutrition, and all the toxins and all the other things. You really put it all together in one place. I still don't know if there's any other website that does that. Maybe there is. But
yeah, I don't think to the extent that we do it.
Right.
Even hydration.
Oh yes,
is
how could we forget
so
hydration?
Important and impacts the brain. I'm thinking of Quench, right, which is another book
right.
That's on the market and they're pretty
right.
Recent.
Right.
Yes, there are these books that come out, and they're all wonderful. It's a matter of putting this together and saying, how is this really impacting the human body as a whole?
Right. So thank you so much for the work that you do. And we'll be sure in the show notes to have a link to your website and people can get the list of 10/12. And I think you also have a questionnaire on the website.
You know, we did. We're taking a look. We're taking a look. We're revising the website, and we are taking a look at that. Questionnaires are always wonderful, but you want to make sure that they're really valid and reliable.
Right.
And,
I know.
You know, they're giving people an adequate, you know, an accurate look at really what we're talking
right.
about, because brain health is important, and we don't want people feeling that there's really something wrong with their cognition if there isn't. But there are questions that can be asked that will help people say, oh yeah, you know, I didn't remember, you know, when I was young, I had that accident, or or whatever, you know, it could be, I recall, you know, one of my daughters had surgery, at 4 weeks old, and,
yeah.
You know, exposing even an infant to, you know, antibiotics at that age can impact their gut health. So, you know, you think back and sometimes you don't realize. So a questionnaire can be helpful.
Right. It can be. And you know what? I really appreciate the fact that you don't just leave a questionnaire out there to linger. You take it back in and you're reassessing it and you're making sure it does what you want it to do. And that to me is a sign of a good organization. So all the more reason for me to suggest people go to your website, which you can share the www.
It's sharpagain.org. And you can
easy.
Always write to us at info@sharpagain.org. If you want to find out more about our programs, they're up on the website. You can get more information that way.
Well, it sure is easier than reading the stack of books I have
yeah.
next to my bed. So I love what you do, and thank you so much for coming here and trying to, in a short period of time, give everybody a quick view of what wonderful resources there are available to them. I'm really excited that people will go and investigate what you offer.
Well, thank you, Sarah. And, you know, as a nonprofit, it's so helpful to be able to speak to your audience and for them to know that these resources are available. So thank you.
That's great. Well, thank you so much. And I'll probably have you on again.
I'd love to.
So thanks again.
All right.
Great.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Bone Bootcamp podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're loving the podcast, please subscribe. Also, share with a friend. I would really appreciate it. And if you're inspired, a really helpful thing to do is leave a review on iTunes or Spotify. Thank you again for joining me. See you in the next episode.